Matthew chapter 19, if you would please. Matthew chapter 19, we're going to start a new series of messages today. And anytime we approach the Word of God, it has the power to transform and change our life. And I believe that is going to happen to us. Matthew 19, verse 19, and this is said in other places in the Word of God. But Jesus says, to love your neighbor as yourself. All right? So that is that we are to love others. But he said to love others as ourself. So that would let us know that we're to love ourselves, right? Now, I want to ask you a question, and we want to take a number of weeks to kind of discover this, is, do you love yourself? All right? And probably a bigger question is, if you do love yourself or you don't love yourself, why? On what basis or what criteria do you use to decide that you love yourself? Does that come from the Bible? Or is it a list that was given to you by people or by society or by your past? Because God says we are to have thoughts and feelings about ourselves. The other question is, how do you see you? How do you see yourself? We're talking about self-worth, self-image, all right? And people talk about that in our society, but all of this is tied back into what God sees and if it is true and if it is a reality. Because there are times where people think things about themselves that are simply not true. Our family, our favorite TV show is American Idol, all right? And when that is on, we are religious. I mean, we do not miss it. We tape it, we watch it, we talk about it. And one of my favorite parts, and it's a singing audition. We had one in the country where one of our members won a number of years ago. But one of my favorite things to watch is the auditions, where this lady, this young girl will come with her mom, and they interview her, and she says, you know, I'm going to be the next Britney Spears. And I tell you what, and she comes with a guitar, and she says, I'm a singer-songwriter. That's with a hyphen, singer-songwriter. And when she begins to sing, you realize she's neither. And one of the judges will say, you know, God bless you, young lady. You know, you seem to be really sweet, but please cancel all of your future plans to ever do anything in music. And she tears up, and the mom holds her and says, don't give up on your dream, honey. You're going to make it. And the fact of the matter is, no, you're not. You're not going to make it. There is no talent. You can't sing and you can't write a song. So just go to plumbing school or something else, all right? But it's this idea of self-deception that I think about myself in a way that just simply isn't true. So, but God calls us to love ourselves and to think about ourselves. What do you think about when you think about you? And is it the truth? Is it real? Is it reality? Or is it grounded on facts that might not be true? You see, God designed us to have worth. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. When God created us, He created us on purpose. He created us with a design. And He created us to live in relationship with Himself. And when that changed, everything changed. In Genesis 1, we have the account that every day God made a part of the earth that we live in. And it was good. It was perfect. And at the end of that creation, then He formed man from the dust of the earth. He breathed into him, and man became a living soul. And then God commissioned him in Genesis 1:28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. So God created the earth, and then he gave us dominion over the earth that he has just created. That must mean that we are pretty special to God. That he would trust us in such a way and delegate his authority to us in that way. Now, look over in Genesis 2, verse 25. God took one of Adam's ribs and formed Eve and brought her to him. The very first wedding. And at the end of this verse 25, it says, "And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." All right? When we think of the word to be ashamed, how many of you have ever been ashamed about something in your life? That is that you have a real awareness about you, about what you did, or maybe what you think other people are thinking. But you feel ashamed because you're aware of yourself. So Adam and Eve were in complete innocence, all right? They were created by God. They were brought together by God. They were naked, but they weren't ashamed. That is, they weren't self-conscious, all right? They were created to glorify God. And in a sense, they were clothed with God's glory, with who God was. They were created to have a relationship with God, with each other. They were created to be responsible and to take care of the earth. They were created to honor and reflect who God is. And they realized that they were a very special part of God's creation and in his mind. So they were created in this way, but unfortunately it didn't stay this way very long. What was given to them by God in creation was lost at the fall. When man fell, when man sinned. If you look here and we see in Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made for themselves coverings." So they went from being conscious of God and unaware of themselves or unaware of their nakedness to when sin came, one of the first things that happened was me. Their eyes now were not on God, but them, and they realized that they were inadequate. They realized that they were naked. All right? And so then what happens in verse 8? "Then they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord." Now, why did they do that? When God calls them, he says, "Adam, where are you?" He didn't say, "Adam, you're in big trouble." What caused them to hide themselves from God? The glory was gone. Their relationship with God was gone. Something changed when they sinned. And now they were going to fix it themselves. They were aware of their nakedness, and now they're going to come up with a solution to make themselves okay. And what man did in the garden all these thousands of years ago, he has not stopped till today. Man keeps looking for something that will make himself feel okay about himself. Because man realizes that he's inadequate. Man realizes that I need to feel good about myself. And depending on how you were raised or where you were raised or your background, there are certain paths that man will take for his worth or his significance. Some of the most common ones that we see in our day and age, one is money. I feel good about myself because I know I've got money in the bank. And therefore, I must be okay. But for some people, having money in the bank is not enough. They need you to know that they've got money. So what do? We have clothes with labels. They're not any more important or any nicer than another, you know, pair of clothes. But now you go, "Ooh, Gucci." Ladies, you realize a handbag is a handbag, right? It's really not that much different than a ShopRite bag. You put stuff in it and you carry it. And then when you get somewhere, you open it up and you take it out. And, you know, to have a leather bag, that's nice. But we don't want just a leather bag. We want it to be leather and then it to say Versace. And here's the thing. If you didn't get it at Soweto Market, you're going to tell us. No, my aunt went to Paris. This is from Paris. It's not from Singapore. It's not from Thailand. This is a real thing. Because you need us to know that. Right? Right? And so we do so, whether it's money or stuff or the stuff that we have on the outside, our bling, right? Our bling. What's another thing? In some, depending on how you were raised or what was important to the people that raised you, education is really big. Aren't you glad for education? God says pursue wisdom. All right, it is certainly better to be smart than dumb, okay? You are, ignorance is a choice. You don't have to stay that way. But for many people, education is something that now we tell other people about. I went here and I did that and I've got this degree. And so on our business card, we list all of those. Real ones and ones that are made up. You can be a doctor for $19.99 in the internet today. You could be a doctor of ministry, a doctor whatever. Now you're Dr. So-and-so. Education. And that is that now I feel better about myself because I feel you feel good about me. See, these are all paths that people take to feel good about them. Now, is money wrong? No. Is education wrong? No. But it is self-destructive when you use that as a path for your identity. Other people, it's about their performance. What have you done in life? And so you get around some people and you didn't ask for their CV. You're not going to hire them. But all they talk about is their accomplishments and what they did. For some people, it's how they're connected. Hey, do you know who I had supper with the other day? Hey, my uncle. Oh. Again, a search for worth, a search for dignity. Many people look to the crowd, look to others for applause and for what they say. And so they live their whole life seeking the approval of others. Why? Because they need it. Their need has not been replaced by God, and so we have to get it. You see, God made us to be okay and to feel good about ourselves. And if you don't plug into God, listen, you will plug in somewhere else. And the sad thing is that there are born-again believers, people who are going to heaven. They've got Bibles, you know, bigger than a small cow, all right? But they don't know what's in the Bible. They don't believe what's in that Bible. They don't know what God says about them. And so they seek to establish their own identity rather than to accept what God says about their identity. Many people, and this is one of the most saddest ones, is something that is such a beautiful thing as a family where God put us into for love and protection and fellowship and camaraderie, our own natural human family. Many people live their whole life and go to the grave seeking the approval of their family. And they will live lives that God never intended them for them to live because they are living their life based on a script that someone else gave to them. And it never works. You see, these are all paths that people have taken to find significance. So when Adam and Eve lost, when they lost their relationship with God, they also lost their connectedness to God and who they were themselves. We're naked. We are inadequate. And we have to do something about it. All right? And the fashion industry was born. when they sowed fig leaves. It was at the center of the first murder in the Bible. Adam and Eve's children grew up in that condition. And they grew up without having an identity. And so when it came time for them to now worship God, Abel and Cain brought sacrifices to God. Abel's was accepted. Cain's was not. Now, Abel didn't steal from his brother. He didn't make fun of his brother. He didn't threaten his brother. But rage and jealousy and envy caused him to strike against the one that he felt, it's because of him that I've been shamed. And if I can get rid of him, then I'll be okay with this feeling of inadequacy that I now have because my sacrifice was rejected. Personal insecurity, I believe, is at the root of most of our world's problems today. Show me an insecure husband, an insecure wife, and I'll show you a bad marriage. Show me an insecure leader, and I will show you someone who is not leading with God's purpose and design. See, here's, for a leader, you cannot lead people that you need. You understand that? Because if I need you to like me, then we're not going to go to God's destination. We're going to go to the destination where you're happy with me. And yet Jesus told a group of people, he said, what you think about me means nothing to me. Tell your neighbor, I like that. So he was only getting orders from headquarters, from God Almighty. And he was the only person that he sought and that he listened to. People, young people, they will do just about anything for the group to accept them. They'll change the style of their hair. You can't tell me that somebody just woke up one morning and decided, I think it's a good thing to get an earring in my tongue, my lip, my eyebrow, and put a chain together to connect them all. You can't tell me that's normal. You can't tell me, I think I'm just going to make my life happier today and I'm going to pierce my tongue. No. Why do kids do that? Because as soon as they get their tongue pierced, what do? They go to their friends and they go, and everybody goes, oh yeah, cool. Oh man, I like it. Oh, yeah. Roar. Approval. People go through pain to get this drug, to get this feeling on the inside that I'm okay, that I'm loved, because they haven't plugged into the true source where God meant for it to be. This unmet internal need drives people to wrong attitudes and to wrong behavior. Without correcting this foundation in your life, your behavior will be driven by this quest for self-worth. And it doesn't matter how many demons we cast out of you. It doesn't matter how many times you read the Bible. You will be driven by this need on the inside. Your behavior will always be consistent with what you believe at a heart level. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. What do you think? What do you see about yourself? Let me just ask you a couple questions. And these things relate to your identity. How do you handle praise? When someone says, way to go, excellent job. How do you handle criticism? Do you know some criticism is true? Oh, that person is just fault finding. No, they're telling you the truth. They found a fault. That's right. It's the truth. How do you handle, what kind of emotions appear in your life when you're not accepted into a certain group of people? They leave you on the outside. How do you see yourself when you've got lots of money? Some of you are thinking, I'm still waiting for that feeling, Pastor. No, but how do you feel about yourself when you have money? Or how do you feel about yourself when you have little money? Remember Paul said something where he said, I've been abased, I've been abounded when it comes to finances. He said, but you know what? Regardless, I'm content. Somebody reads that where money is what drives them and they go, that guy's crazy. No, because that wasn't what made him happy on the inside. How do you handle titles or the lack of titles? Recognition. Pastor Ken and I were in an unnamed city in Zambia last year doing a pastor's conference. And we met this guy and Pastor Ken was introducing him to me. And the last time Pastor Ken had met this guy and worked with him, he was a bishop. Now, you understand, being a bishop is fine, right? As long as you bish. Don't call yourself a bishop if you don't bish. All right? Don't be a pastor if you don't pastor. Okay? But anyway, so he said, Pastor Walker, this is so-and-so. This is Bishop, you know, I can't remember his name. And he said, no, I'm an archbishop now. Well, that's good. At least you got that going for you, which is nice. What does that mean? Well, come to find out, the guy has 30 members. How are you an archbishop with 30 members? I don't know. What's the criteria? But anyway, but this was obviously very important to him. I'm not a bishop. I'm an archbishop, and don't you forget it. How do you see your past? The Bible talks about the shame of our youth. All of us more than likely have some things that we are ashamed about that are in our youth, that are in our past. Well, when you think about those things, what emotions are in your heart? Are you still connected there? Is that still you? All these things have to do with our self-worth, our identity. Jealousy, envy, pride, self-promotion. You see, friend, if we do not deal with the root of this, we will be treating your malaria with Panado. And here's the thing. We can give you Panado for malaria and you'll feel good for a couple of hours. Oh, the fever's gone. No, we just masked it. We've got to treat what's in the blood. We've got to treat that parasite. We've got to get rid of the malaria. And here's the thing. If we get rid of the malaria, you won't need Panado. You'll be better. And unfortunately, in so many of our churches, people, they come to Christ. They come and they put their faith in a saving Jesus. And yet they still stay plugged in to all these false areas of their identity and their security. And they come to church on a Sunday just to kind of get a touch and feel good. And you feel good and then you go right back out into that false quest Monday through Saturday. About how you feel about you. Allowing other people to run your life. Working from a script that God never wrote for you. Temporary relief, but no lasting cure. Where, friend, where do you go for feelings of self-worth? Because you're going somewhere. You can't live without it. Now, what happens here is these areas that we set up, these quests, some people are, they've successfully done it. They got the education. They got the money. They're wearing the bling. They've got the car with the wheels that go the other way when the car's going that way. Huh? They serve no purpose other than for other people to go, whoa, that, yeah, that, how about that? So some people are successful. They point towards a false quest and they actually get it. Other people have a false quest and they don't make it. They constantly live under the impression, I'm not good enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough education. My CV isn't that beautiful. And so they live under this cloud their entire life. Where I'm not okay with myself. I don't love myself. I'm still connected to the shame of my youth. And that is a whole other set of problems. Now, what man lost in the garden, you can see that man cannot get back. You can't get it back with a Hummer. You can't get it back dating a supermodel. You can't get it back when your grandfather and your father stand and applaud. You can't get it back any other way than from God, because He is the one who gave it in the first place. It was stolen. What we're talking about today is identity theft. Sometimes people will get your credit card, get your Facebook account, and they'll pretend they're you. Your identity was stolen. It was stolen in the garden, and Jesus came to give it back to you. Not from all these other sources, but from God Almighty, the one who gave it to you in the first place. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. So man couldn't get it. We couldn't scrub ourselves well enough. We couldn't make the fig leaves to cover everything. There's not enough money. There's not enough bling. There's not enough prestige. So what does God do? He says, I'm just going to start over. I'm just going to go and just from brand new, make you a brand new person. A person that never existed. Not refurbished, not scrubbed up, but new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ. Now let's just pause. Let's find out if there anybody is anyone here today that's in Christ. Is that you? You're a believer. You're in the family of God. And that means you are in Christ. That means that this next phrase is you. Tell your neighbor, he's talking about you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, say, that's me. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, you are not refurbished. It's been a long time since I bought a brand new vehicle. When my wife and I were first married, we each had a brand new vehicle. Ever since then, in South Africa we had another one. But most of us will get a car that somebody else rode in, right? And so there's this, there's that, there's a little few scratches. But when you have a car that no one else has ever ridden in, you know what's neat about that? There's no past. Well, what kind of oil did they put in? I don't know. There's never been oil in this. Well, you know, did they ever have, I've got a friend, he won't ever let you have chips, chips and chicken in his car because he said it makes my car stink. You don't have to worry if anybody ever had chips in your car. It's new. It has no past. And so God says, I can't just kind of fix you. I can't just scrub you up. So I'm going to make you a brand new you. And so when we are in Christ, we are not just a sinner saved by grace. We used to be a sinner. We were saved by grace. And now we're new. And there's a whole long list of what the New Testament says you are. You're righteous. You're holy. You're approved. You're accepted. You're in the family. And all these things have to become, at an emotional level, who we are. Amen? Now, I don't know if anybody has ever mentioned to you that, when God sees you, He sees you through the blood. You ever heard that statement? He sees you through the blood. And I understand what people are attempting to say, but God does not see you through the blood. When you were born again, you were washed, you were sanctified, you were made new because of the blood. And so now when God sees you, He sees you as you really are. A new creation. On the weekends is when I do more of the dishes at home. Dirty dishes. Now, husbands, you heard me right. Okay? It is possible. I have not found, I wish I could find, but I can't find any Bible verses that say, husbands, don't wash the dishes. Amen? There's a good marriage tip there for you, all right? But anyway, on the weekends, I'll do some of the dishes. And where we do the dishes, on the right side is where the dirty dishes go. Everybody knows you put them on the right side of the sink. And then they get washed, soap and water. And then on the left side, if they're on the left side, it means they're clean. They've been they're drying or they need to be drawn. So right side dirty, left side clean. Now imagine if I just kind of went into the where all these dirty dishes were. And I thought, ooh, this is a lot of work. So I just took all the dishes, the dirty dishes, from the right side. And I just simply moved them over to the left side. Still dirty, still filthy. And so my wife comes in and says, Walker, what's up with these dirty dishes? They're on the left side. Oh, no, honey. I learned something at church today. And I get out the dish detergent, Sunlight. I said, come here, look. Just look at those dishes through sunlight. See, you can't see that they're dirty because we're seeing them through the soap. No, either you're dirty or you're not. God does not see you through the blood. He applied the blood to your filthiness. He cleansed you. He raised you. And now you are clean. Now you are accepted. Now you are a new creation. God does not see you through the blood. He doesn't have blood of Jesus sunglasses. Like you go to the 3D movie and you go, whoa, wow. You are holy. That is the new you. So now here's the thing. Do you believe what God believes about you? Or do you believe what your grandfather says? Do you believe what your boss says? Do you believe what society tells us? Do you believe, and have you locked into the lies of the accuser of the brethren? Have you locked into the father of lies? You understand that is Satan's name. He is a deceiver. And friend, this is the great battlefield of life. It is not generational curses. It is not the demons that are flying over Lusaka right now. I don't know if they're there or not, but that they don't need to worry about them. This is the battleground. What do you believe about you? Because here's the thing. You're the only one that can believe it. No one else gets to decide that except for you. Now here's the thing. If God says that you're a new creature, and He says you're the Son who's pleased Me, if He says you're righteous and you're holy, if God says that and someone else doesn't believe that, who's right and who's wrong? Who would be on the right side? God. So other people might not agree with God. You've got to believe God. Now here's the bigger challenge. What if you, in your innermost heart, don't believe what God says? God is true, and you've got a false perspective. You're seeing things in a light that are not true. The Bible puts it this way. Let God be true, and every man a liar. Anyone who has an opinion about you that differs from God's opinion has the wrong opinion. Do you see that? Where do you go? What do you plug into? And this quest that we're going to go on for a number of weeks is that we are going to join God and see us as we really are. Not a distorted image, not a false image, not, I think I can. No, what God has made you and how He sees you. Either you're going to plug in to God's evidence, or you will continue down these other paths that will only bring you frustration and destruction in your life. Because you will look somewhere. You are looking somewhere for a sense of worth and a sense of dignity. Turn with me to Genesis 3. Friend, this is the battle. This is the deal. Adam and Eve lost the battle. Genesis chapter 3, when Satan came, the serpent, making bad look good, and that's really what he tries to do in life. Look at what he said. Genesis 3 verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Because she had said, I can't eat that, I'll die. No, you won't die. For God knows that the day you eat it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. New Living Translation puts it this way. You will become like God. So do this in order to become. Do in order to be. I heard a pastor, he nicknamed that tree, the knowledge of good and evil, as the do to be tree. I've got to do this in order to be. This will change how I see myself. You see, they fell, Adam and Eve fell, on the battleground of identity. Because Satan was offering them, tempting them, lying to them that you can be something more. God's withholding it from you, but there's something more to be if you just go this route. Now, the sad part of this is that what Satan was offering them, the lie, you will be like God, they already were like God. They were created in His image. You see, God doesn't look like a tree. God doesn't look like a fish. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. Well, what does He look like? He looks a lot like you. We were created in the image of God. Why? So we could relate to Him. God doesn't want a relationship with a fish. He doesn't want a relationship with a tree. It's not about Mother Earth. It's about Father God. That's where we connect. And so He made us so that we could relate to Him. They had this, and Satan was telling them that they didn't have this. And so now they reached for something that hurt their life. They reached for something that would not satisfy. It didn't make them like God. It separated them from God. Now, Adam and Eve lost it. They were defeated on the battleground of their identity. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4, and I want you to see someone who was not defeated on the battleground of identity. They knew who they were. Therefore, they didn't have to follow the lies of the devil about who they are. Matthew 4, verse 3. Jesus has been just water baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. Jesus is about to begin His earthly ministry, and the Spirit of the Lord led Him into the wilderness. He had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. All right? And now Satan comes to tempt Him. Matthew 4, 3. Now when the tempter came to Him, He said, if you are the Son of God. Everybody say, if. That means you might be, you might not. Prove it. If you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now here's the thing. In Matthew 3, 17, Jesus had heard His Father say, this is My Son. And He believed Him. So when Satan came and said, if you're the Son of God, Jesus thought, if? What do you mean if? I am. I know who I am. I know what my God says about me. I know the relationship that I have with my Father. So I don't need to prove anything to you. My Father takes care of me. I don't need to turn these stones into bread. My God is a supplier. Now look at the next temptation. Matthew 4, 5. Then the devil took Him up into the holy city and set Him on the pinnacle of the temple. And He said to them, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Boy, Jesus, boy, we will be impressed. It'll be in the newspapers. I'm telling you what, it will be a worldwide sense. Nobody knows about you right now, but if you jump off and, you know what I mean, you're the Son of God, you can just do that. Everybody will say, ooh. See, if you are the Son of God. For Jesus, there was no if. He knew. He was secure, and He did not have to listen to the lies. Now, in life, friends, and we're going to see from the Word in the weeks to come, There are two main paths that Satan will lie to you about who you are and will send you on a never-ending quest that will never help your life about where do you go to feel good about yourself. One path is through your performance. That is your accomplishments, what you're able to produce in life, and you're able to show that you've done your accomplishments. And so the world stands back and cheers those who do well. Secondly, the other lie that Satan will give you is you can feel good about yourself when other people tell you you're okay. When you receive the accolades of others. And so life now becomes a never-ending popularity contest. Trying to get other people to love you and to say that you're okay. And if they do, you feel good. If they don't, you feel bad. And so you spend your life only doing things that will seek to please people, not to seek the approval of God. Because there are things you'll see in the Bible. When people followed God, they got in trouble with people. People didn't like it. People's opinions will change. Remember in Bible school, they said, you know, if you're going to pastor, there are going to be probably three seasons of your pastoral life. The first season, number one is they'll put palm leaves and say, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. When the church opens up. A few years later, the second stage is, by what authority do you do these things? And then the third one is, crucify him, crucify him. People, good people, and even more bad people, people will change their opinion about you all the time. And if that is the drug that you're using to feel good about yourself, you will be forever linked and they will control your life rather than the Holy Spirit. And we can't cast it out. We can't cast it in. You're going to have to change what you believe in your heart. God has the true answers for your life. He has a stable foundation to build upon. Now, for many of us, we've already come to a certain place in our life where we've heard these lies. Some of us have bought into these lies. And we were born again and God made us his child, but we don't yet fully grasp and understand. We haven't allowed that new identity now to come out and to control us emotionally. See, one of the greatest dangers in life is self-deception. The singer-songwriter, she didn't know she wasn't a singer-songwriter. And I believe that as we carry on looking at the Word of God during this time, there's going to be time where God's going to shine the light. And you're going to go, oh, I've been trying to make my father happy for 50 years. Oh, it's been all about money. It's all been about, I just want to get money to impress my former family that now I've got a fancy car. And here's the thing, they won't be impressed. That carrot will continue to dangle in front of your eyes. And so I want us to believe God and trust God that as his light comes, we'll see the light and we can embrace and accept the truth. Because in life, so many times, in order to embrace what God has for your life, you've got to let go of what you have. That's why you can't accept forgiveness when you're holding on to unforgiveness. So we've got to let go of lies. We've got to let go of what the world and people have told us and embrace our new creation. We've got to embrace what God says about us. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me? I want us to pray. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays for the Ephesians and he said, I pray that your eyes, the eyes of your understanding would be flooded with light. There would be, that you can see things. In Ephesians 3, he prays that you would come to know the love of Christ. How big and broad and deep it is. That you would know this for yourself. Not secondhand knowledge, but you would experience it. And I want us to pray this prayer over our own life. as we go on this quest with God. Amen. Would you close your eyes with me? Just put your hand on your heart. Say this with you. Say, Father, I believe what you say. I realize that I've been lied to. I realize others have said things about me that you have not. And I make a decision to embrace your truth. Flood my eyes with light. Open the eyes of my understanding. Let me see clearly. Let me see what you see. May I know your love. How high, how deep, how broad, how wide. I want to experience this love for myself. Not a testimony, not something in a sermon. I want to taste it myself. Thank you, Father, that you enlighten my heart, that you teach me, and I begin to live out of the new me, not the false me, but how you see me. I believe that's happening in Jesus' name.